wonderful message, and that song, glad we understand the truth of it. Praise God. Shall we turn this morning once again to Luke 16? Luke 16. And verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We would bring forth another message today on true riches, as we find in verse 11. If you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? We have seen some of these true riches in recent weeks. Today, I want to notice that God's people must be identified as being true riches. Jesus is especially directing these instructions to his disciples as being ministers of the gospel. We find that the key word in all of this is faithful. The word is mentioned four times in just a couple of verses here. And this one especially speaks of being faithful in that which belongs to another. Verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And so today I especially want to enlarge on being faithful in that which belongs to God. And as we have seen in these lessons, these messages, God insists that men be faithful to the unrighteous mammon, that is money. We saw it illustrated in the instructions he gave to Israel as they gathered the manna. And so I want to see today that personal finance is very, very important in regard to ministry. I have seen over the years both good and bad. There are those who have been faithful in their personal finance and their ministries have prospered. I've also seen those whose personal finances was a shambles. And it wasn't long till the ministry was in the same path. And so God said it for a reason. Jesus said it for a reason. You must be faithful in the unrighteous mammon if you are going to be a faithful minister of the gospel. God's people are true riches. Paul refers to them as precious stones. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:12. It means that we must recognize the same priorities that God does. We saw this in the introductory message concerning these lessons concerning mammon. We realize that all riches come from God. Likewise, these true riches belong to God. And so Paul calls them precious stones. They are indeed valuable. Titus 2:14, it says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. It means a valuable people. 1 Peter tells us the same thing where Peter tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That little word peculiar is so very important unto us because it means beyond usual. It means special. It means a purchased possession. All of these definitions fit God's people as to how important that they are. And so it is that if we are going to be true and faithful ministers, we must understand and know and acknowledge the tremendous value of God's people. Let us turn to Acts, the 20th chapter, where the Apostle Paul brings this out in such a wonderful way. And then we're going to see some tremendous insights that he gives to us in regards to this purchased possession or these true riches wherein we indeed must be faithful. And so we notice in Acts the 20th chapter and in verse 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which is purchased with his own blood. This is what makes us such a peculiar people because of the extremely high price that was paid for us. We must understand that God's people, the body of Christ, is so very, very valuable. And we must indeed treat it accordingly as this peculiar people that he is talking about. I want to back up to verse 26 and notice that Paul presented some wonderful insight and valuable lessons for us, both in his conduct and his exhortations as to how we must conduct ourselves if we are going to be entrusted with these true riches. And so we read in verse 26, Paul says, wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. I am sure that many reasons could be listed for the legitimacy of that statement. Paul didn't just throw something out here. These are things that he had lived. And so I'm sure there were many reasons as to why he could make such a statement as that. But he sums it up in verse 27 when he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He knew that he was free from the blood of all men because he had freely preached this message of divine grace. We know that Paul was not dissuaded because of persecution, because of trial. He was not dissuaded because men rejected the gospel. He was still very adamant in preaching this message, regardless of all of the difficulties that might come up concerning him. But I want to notice here that Paul was faithful in the unrighteous mammon in this matter. In other words, he did not let money stand in the way of his preaching the gospel. Jesus said it plainly this way, freely you have received, freely give. The Apostle Paul followed exactly that same pattern. 2 Corinthians 11, he said this, I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. He went on to say, when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. I am free of the blood of all men because I did not let anything keep me from preaching the gospel unto you. And so I was chargeable to no man. that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. 1 Corinthians 4:11, he said this, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. But notice what he says, we labor working with our own hands. He did not demand support in order to continue to preach this gospel. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then in this same chapter here in Acts in verse 20 and verse 34, he says, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I can say of a surety, I've known a number of such godly, faithful ministers over the years. And so many times, any gospel minister will be required to minister at his own expense. This is exactly what we find in this matter of faithfulness to the gospel. This is why we must be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, because that same characteristic carries over when we are ministering insofar as these true riches of the saints of God are indeed required. And so it is that Paul spoke to these Ephesian elders. He is seeing them for the last time. We know that Timothy, his successor, would be the pastor at Ephesus. He is addressing all of these elders, explaining to them that they too must be faithful in this matter of ministering to God's people, of taking seriously the true riches that God has committed into their hands. And so I want to notice here, as we come to verse 28, he has set the example in verses 26 and 27. And now he tells these men, take heed therefore unto yourselves. This is always the first requirement in ministering to God's people. The minister has to take it to himself first. Paul did that, as we've seen over and over. We've seen other gospel ministers, both in the scripture and out, down to the ages, that have taken it to themselves first, applied and appropriated in their own lives first, in order that they might give it unto others. And so take heed unto yourselves, and then to all the flock. Give the same message unto them which you have taken, which God has revealed unto us. Once again, we understand the principle here in these riches. They all come from God. We saw it in the very beginning. If we have money, it came from God. We have to recognize that. These true riches also come from God. The message that God gives us to give, it came from God. We didn't make it up. We were not the ones responsible for it. We are only giving freely what God gave to me. And so as we find that we must take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. And then this next one is so vital, so important that we understand it. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. We don't own these things. We don't own the people. We are not to lord it over them. We are just God's overseers. God is the one who owns this, because Jesus has bought it with his own blood. We are just overseers. And Jesus and Paul and throughout the scripture tells us we must be faithful overseers of the flock, of the riches that God has graciously committed into our hands, as the Apostle Paul has said. And so we are overseers. And then we come to what I believe is the most important commitment that God has given unto us, the most important ministry and burden that God has placed upon us, to feed the church of God. This is something I fear sorely lacking in Christendom today. I see all sorts of programs that people have. I see all sorts of entertainment and ways to get people into the church and things of this nature. But I don't see deep feeding of God's people. And this is the primary responsibility that God has given unto us today, to feed the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I think again of feeding. I think again of applying to ourselves. The only way a minister can ever feed anybody else is if he feeds himself first. And this is what I think is many times lacking in our world. There are many messages in the whole counsel of God. This is what Paul says, I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. There are many avenues in that whole counsel of God, but I fear that so many of those avenues are being overlooked, discarded, omitted in our world today. I have said over and over and over again, we can't do anything about what other people do, but we can be faithful to what God has given us to do. And so he says here that we must feed the flock of God. I want to comment more on that wonderful thought. Let us go to the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke 12. And verse 40. This is the end of a parable that Jesus gave on the unjust or the unfaithful steward. And so in verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Jesus puts this in perspective for us because he builds it around the second coming of the Lord. And I have heard a few of the different sermons and messages, and you just kind of scan through different things. You get different literature and things of this nature. Very few that I have heard really concentrate on the second coming of Jesus. I was reading one of the Grace and Glories not long ago, and Brother Smith wrote in the Signposts, he says, it seems to me today that more people are more interested in who the Antichrist is than in Jesus coming again. And I believe that to be true. Our focus must be on the second coming of Jesus. We are in that hour. And that's how Jesus marked these words concerning his instruction in regard to the unfaithful steward. Verse 41, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou unto this parable unto us, that is us as disciples or ministers of the gospel, or even to all? It is all people. Here's Jesus' answer. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Jesus' theme is still being faithful, just as we had in Luke 16. Faithful in the unrighteous mammon. If you are, you will also be faithful in the great things, in the big things, in the important things. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? This is instruction for us today. But I have said once again, over and over, we have been talking this morning about ministers of the gospel. But you have heard me say again and again that all ministers do not stand in a pulpit as I am doing today. You have heard me say again and again, there are no useless members in the body of Christ. Beloved, every one of us should be looking for the coming of the Lord, and every one of us should be faithful to minister to the rest of the body of Christ, to the true riches that God has committed unto our trust. As I thought on this morning, meditating on it the last few days, where we read, he shall make him ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. When is due season? It's whenever the need arises. You don't know when that may be. You don't know when you may be such a blessing to some other person. It may be one-on-one. It may be in a conversation you don't even know what you're saying is going to apply to their need. But if you're faithful to give out God's word, it is in due season in order to meet the need. And that includes every member of the body of Christ. And so in answer to Peter's question, is that just for us disciples or is that to all? It is to every member of the body of Christ who would be faithful to minister to these true riches that God has chosen. We have often heard the expression, be instant in season and out. Believe me, that's not just when we're gathered together. You may have to be in season at work. You may have to be in season on the bus. You may have to be in season at the grocery store. It doesn't make any difference. Wherever the time is may be a due season. If God would have us impart the gospel unto those who indeed are in need. You will notice what we read in verse 43. I've enjoyed this for so many years because we have often stated that we know Jesus is coming again. That's what drives us. But we don't just sit down and twiddle our thumbs and wait till it happens. We are told again and again that we must occupy till he comes. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. So doing means giving them in due season, giving them meat in due season. It's the depths of the gospel, something that is going to help them in their time of need. Blessed is that one. When the Lord comes, he finds that this faithful servant is doing exactly what Jesus left him to do. Paul spoke of these true riches. And as we noted, they are true riches, or they are valuable. They are peculiar riches because of the price that was paid for them. The Apostle Paul certainly incorporated that into his own self, into his own ministry. He truly did appreciate and value the body of Christ, the people of God. He knew they were true riches. He said this in Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. You don't love something unless you think it's valuable. And the more valuable it is, the more you love it. That's all there is to it. That's the way we all are. I've often said God didn't make us as robots. God made us to do things out of desire of love, of concern for himself and others. And so we find here that Paul says, my dearly beloved. I remember hearing about a missionary to Africa named Sister Huff. And she went to Africa. If she stood up here, you couldn't see the top of her head because she didn't stand that high. But what a mighty force she was when she went to Africa. And it didn't take her long to realize that she was the only white person there. And she began to look around. And she said, Lord, if I'm going to minister to these people, I have to love them. I have to love them. And she said, God gave her such an overwhelming desire and love for those people. She spent practically the rest of her life in Africa, ministering to the natives there. And so this is what Paul is telling us. We too must minister from desire, from love. My dearly beloved, he goes on, they're longed for. And then here's where he brings out the value of them. They're my joy. They're my crown. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We will close with these words. 1 Thessalonians 2. In verse 17. I want to notice once again the desire that Paul had, the love that he had, and the appreciation for the value of these saints. Verse 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. He wanted desperately to come back. He wanted to see them. He wanted to gather together with them. That was his deep desire to be with them. Verse 18, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. And of course, we certainly can identify with that. Verse 19. What is our hope? Our joy. Our crown of rejoicing. Again, how valuable these people were to the Apostle Paul. It means that you and I must place the highest of value on one another. We must minister to one another, realizing that we are all true riches. We are all peculiar. Why? Because he paid the same price for every one of us, even the precious blood of Jesus. And so we must have that high value and esteem for what Jesus did with his own blood there on the cross of Calvary. And so Paul says, he answers his own question, verse 19, are not even you, and I want to notice once again, the Apostle Paul also centers the importance of this around the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will say this, there must be nothing more important in our lives at this moment and from here on than the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can evaluate our own readiness for Jesus if we truly have that desire in our hearts. Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And he repeats it in verse 20. You are our glory and joy. You are valuable unto us. And we indeed must place that kind of value on these true riches that God has committed unto our trust today. And of course, as we're going to get into in the rest of these messages, when we are faithful to what God has given to us, then there certainly will be ample reward, eternal reward, for us in glory. But let us not get ahead of ourselves. Let us realize that our ministry and our focus today must be on being faithful in what God has given unto us.